the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Daniel chapter 6. And I got something a little different on my heart tonight. I woke up this morning and I'm like, really, Lord? That's kind of a different flow here. But apparently he has something in mind for some of us. Some, I mean, anybody that's got an ear to hear, right? So, you know, we've been talking about on prevailing or always triumphant and so forth and so on. And I didn't even really, when the Lord started talking to me this morning about where we're going tonight, I didn't put it together with that until I was pretty much done. I was getting up to go get my breakfast and everything. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, that sort of does connect to what we've been preaching on. So whether you're going to see it right away or not, I'm not sure, but we'll make you aware of it here. Daniel 6, it says here in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now notice Daniel, if you know the story of Daniel, you know Daniel wouldn't compromise in worshiping God, even when there was a decree to only worship the king's idol, you remember? And because he wouldn't compromise, he was thrown into the lion's den and because of the law. And but God, you know, he got out of the lion's den. God kept him. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame of faith, you know. And then also he was promoted after that. All the other guys were killed. And he was promoted, and it's talking about that here. And one of the reasons it says he was promoted in this verse is that he had an excellent spirit, an excellent spirit. And that's what came up to my in my heart this morning, actually. Well, I won't get into that, but just to talk about excellence. And excellent, having an excellent spirit, doing what you do, whether it's your work, your job, whether it's your helps ministry here at church, whether it's your dealings with your finances, whether it's your if you got a business, excellence in business. God's been talking to us this year about business. And I've been loving, some of you have been telling me what God's leading you to do, and you're stepping out, and it's just working.
Amen. It's working.
Just working, almost like the Word of God's true or something. Amen. But we've been talking about that some this year, and but I mean, in the series we've been talking about prevailing and always triumphing, and the way the Lord got it across to me this morning about this we're going to teach on excellence is being excellent in our being excellent in what we do so that we rise to the top, and in other words, we're victorious. And become the lead in what we're doing, whether it's promotion at our job, whether it's if you have a business, whether it's people prefer you, the clients, they prefer you over other whatever you do. Like if you're an accountant or if you're you're in sales or whatever it is, they prefer you, and you prevail over, let's say it this way, others in the field. Because you're good, you're the best, you're excellent, your products are quality, your standards are quality, your customer service is quality, and people just prefer you over everybody else. Amen. I said amen. I don't know if you're gonna get excited about this or not, but when the Lord started talking to me, I'm like, well, this is a different flow than I've been in. Where are you going here, Lord? But the more I studied it, the more I realized, wait a minute, it's really talking about some of what we've been talking about, and that's being victorious. My dad taught me, and when I got to Rhema, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, he used to tell his son, Kenneth Hagin Jr., this. He said, anything that's worth doing is worth doing right.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
If it's not worth doing right, just don't do it.
Yes, don't do it.
But if you're going to do it, just go all the way and succeed and be the best and be the top in what you're doing. Let me just give you another verse. I didn't plan on going to this right now, but I'll give it to you. 2 Chronicles 31:21. This is talking about Hezekiah. I won't turn there, but 2 Chronicles 31:21, it says, Hezekiah, whatever he did it with all his heart and prospered. He did it with all his heart. I said he did it with all his heart. What does it mean, all his heart? In other words, he did it all out. He did it right. He did it the way it should be done. He did it with a wholeheartedness. In other words, not with a half-heartedness, cutting corners, being sloppy, you know, lazy. You ever been worked with a fellow employee? Hopefully it wasn't you, you know. But a fellow employee, they're always cutting corners and sloppy. You ever notice they don't become the manager of the company? I mean, ringy-dingy, big revelation. They're not going to, without excellence, without wholeheartedness, amen, they're not going to become prosperous. They're not going to, in other words, there is prosperity connected to excellence.
Amen.
Doing it right. Doing it, being the best you can be. Amen. So, would you be interested in that tonight? Daniel 6:3 says that Daniel was preferred, and actually, if you look at the context, he's promoted. Yeah. Amen. And there's three things you need to see here. He was preferred, he was promoted, and he prospered because of an excellent spirit. And you can expect, if you will develop this excellency of spirit, you can expect to be preferred, be promoted, and to prosper.
Yeah.
Whether you are an employee or a business owner and you have clients or customers or you sell things to people or whatever, if you do it right, Sam Walton made a statement one time that always stood out to me. He said, this was years after he started Walmart. How many of you know who Sam Walton was? Years after he became, the Walmart became what it is. He said, somebody was talking to him about the great success he had. And he said, I never really envisioned this kind of success. You know, I mean, Walmart's all over the world. You can go to Nigeria and go to a Walmart,
yeah.
I think. I can't remember. I think there's one over there. But anyway, they're all over the world. How many of you know they're all over the world? But my point is, he said, I never really had this kind of vision to succeed like this. But he said, I did know that if we did what we did with excellence, there'd be no limit to what we could do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Did it with excellence. So, let's get a clue. How many of you know that's what this verse is talking about? If we'll develop an excellent spirit, and we'll talk about what that is, then we can expect to be preferred, be promoted, and to prosper. And if we're going to put our hand to something, we might as well go ahead and be the top, be promoted to the top, and be the most prosperous in it. Otherwise, why do it? What? Are we just going to go through the motions for the rest of our life and just get the minimum pay and the minimum positions and so forth? Or do you want to just go ahead and go for it?
Come on.
Must be talking to the right crowd. Good. Because, there are people in our culture that aren't interested in that anymore. There are people, they just want a handout. And they think it's not fair that some people get more and some people are paid less. They think everybody ought to get this equal piece of the pie. You need to read your Bible a little closer than that. Jesus is not a socialist. No, sir, no, ma'am. Read your Bible. The Bible talks about Jesus in Matthew 25 talked about the guy that didn't know what to do with what the little bit he had given. And God said, take it from him and give it to the man that knows what to do with it. Well, that doesn't sound like socialism.
Come on.
I'm over here because it sounds kind of mean over there, you know. I'm kidding. I'm just having fun at their expense over here. Amen. No. People that think socialism is ideal, you need to study into it. Socialism is a form of economics and actually government that pushes the idea of just kind of giving everybody equal pay regardless of whether they perform or not. Every nation that gravitates towards that becomes a third world country. Case in point, most recent, Venezuela. Used to be a luxurious, flourishing place. Now they're struggling to get food to put on their tables. Why? Because it's not God. I tried to stay away from this subject tonight. I didn't know I was going to get onto it, but here I am on it. It rewards a system that doesn't reward performance and excellence, such as socialism, causes people to stagnate into mediocrity and become uncompetitive in their field. There is no incentive, and their natural tendency to do as little as possible, that's the flesh, the flesh's tendency, is to do as little as possible to get by, amen, and it causes performance and productivity to drop like a rock. Hence, the whole country, if it takes on that in their culture, they become a third world country. There's no incentive. I'm going to get my same stipend every month if I work or not. The products that come out of that country become inferior. Yeah. Yeah. They can have wealth in the country, but they become a poor nation. Can't pay their bills, so forth and so on. When people are rewarded with a paycheck, whether they perform or not, they'll stagnate into mediocrity. That's why this things go this way. Free and competitive. I wrote this afternoon. Whether you like it or not, I don't know. But free and competitive markets have raised more people out of poverty than any economic system in the history of the world. Free. I said free. That means government stays out of it. Let the market sort it out. You didn't plan on getting an economics lesson tonight, but we'll pass by this because it came up. I thought I was going to try. I was going to try to be nice and stay away from all these things, but didn't work. It unleashes the great creativity within a man and the drive within the nature of man to reach for more. Amen. It gives him an incentive to better himself. In some countries, there's no incentive to better yourself. If you work harder, you're not going to get more anyway, so why work harder? Why be better? Why be more excellent? Why have a better product? Why do it better than that guy down there? It's just a big pie. We all get it divided amongst ourselves. Well, Pastor, what if some people don't like what you're preaching tonight? Well, read your Bible a little closer. Not trying to be fighting or anything. I'm just saying this is what's getting into our nation. There are people that don't like the way they don't like open markets. They don't like the system of the competitive market system and things like that. They don't like it. And there's a big uproar in our nation. Well, they're noisy. They're a noisy minority. It's not what made this country great. Amen. The ones who are not as noisy, they're still the vast majority. Amen. Capitalism is what it's called, that people are there. We don't like capitalism. Well, it's made more people wealthy than any economic system in the world. And you read your Bible, you can see Jesus talked about it. Anyway, now there are downfalls to capitalism too, you know, just chasing the dollar and things like that. But you know, we've got to. Anyway, we're on one side of this tonight. So this system of socialism gives people no incentive to better themselves. That hope that they have in a system like we have causes the desire for more to rise up stronger than any desire to be lazy. It makes more. See, if we won't pay people, you know, they that don't work don't eat. If people who don't want to work always stay broke and poor, eventually some of them will wake up, get a brain cell, and say, well, listen, this ain't working.
Come on, yeah, yeah.
My desire to be lazy and do nothing is being overpowered here.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it makes this competitive free markets makes the more attainable to people. And whenever... In addition to that, his neighbor's business competition pulls him up into more excellence, so his services, products, etc., will be more desirable and in demand. Yeah. See, we're still talking about excellence. The competitive market makes people more excellent and to do a better job at a cheaper price, and therefore everything keeps going up, 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 and everybody keeps getting more wealthier, more wealthier, more wealthier.
Yeah.
You're getting an economics lesson tonight. But when there's no free market and your neighbor is not competing with you, then there's no incentive to be excellent. There's no incentive to have a better product or anything like that. Amen. So, if you can still handle it, in addition, his neighbor's business competition pulls him up into more excellence, so his services, products, etc. will be more desirable and in demand. He therefore will be better rewarded economically because excellence is always more valuable. When the Lord gave me that, I'm thinking, that is so simple. Let's preach that on the nightly news, trying to get, arguing with these socialists. Amen. Excellence is rewarded by God. God never rewards sloppiness. God is not a slouch. He's not sloppy. He's not lazy. He doesn't do things half-hearted. Anything he has is excellent. His peace is better than any other kind of peace you can find. His love is the only kind that makes every relationship work. I mean, everything he has is much better than anything the devil has, the world has, or any man's idea has. By the way, socialism came out of the brains of most of them were atheists. Well, right there ought to be a clue.
Yeah, seriously. Hello.
Amen.
Yeah, come on, come on.
Interesting how the Lord put this in my heart today. Excellence is always more valuable. A better product, a better service, somebody that can do the same thing for a better price or they do it better, you're always going to be willing to pay them for that. And that's a good thing. It raises all boats. And believers ought to be at the cutting edge, always excelling beyond everybody else. And if everybody else is going to compete with us, they're going to have to come in. They're going to have to do it better like we do it better. Because we got better ideas. We have the greater one in us to show us how to do it better. We have more creativity. Amen. And by the greater one in us, we are to always be prevailing. You see where we're going with this? Excellence raises people to the top. Like Daniel had an excellent spirit. It raised him to the top. And that's the way God really rewards us is by excellence. He does not reward sloppiness. Well, I just don't know about, I don't know if God is that excellent. Well, let me just ask you a few questions and make you realize you really do believe he is. How many of you, when you go to heaven and get to the throne of grace, enter into the throne room, you expect the throne room to be sloppy like God is a hoarder or something? Anybody here? Raise your lying hand if you believe that. You don't expect to walk into his throne room and it look like he's a hoarder.
No.
Isn't that what they call those people?
Yes. Yes.
You don't expect that.
No, sir. No.
You expect excellence. You expect everything to be clean, spotless, sparkling. You don't expect the golden streets to have trash on them or muddy water running down the side of it. You don't expect that. Do you?
No,
do you?
No,
why? Because you intuitively know God is excellent at everything he does. Excellent, clean. He does it well. He does it. There's nobody that does it better than him. What he does. Praise God. So really, excellence is the nature of God. God is excellent. I believe excellence is a characteristic of the new creation. I said, I believe it's a characteristic of the new creation. You ever notice when people get born again, they tend to clean up, look nicer, their hair's in more order. It used to look like a rat's nest, but now it looks like they combed it. Isn't that right? I mean, they just tend to look nicer. They tend to be more orderly. Why? Because excellence came into their spirit. I said, excellence came into the inside of them. Now, their mentality might not have caught up to who they are inside yet, but see, that's what we're to be doing. It came into us. I believe excellence came into us at the new birth, but we're to cultivate it. We're to press the flesh. We're to press old mindsets and come into who our new nature really is, and that is excellence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go back to Daniel chapter number 1. We didn't even get out of the first verse yet here. Go back to Daniel 1 and look at verse number 20. it tells us this, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. Now, if you look at this, this is Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times better. What I wanted you to see tonight is putting those two verses together, excellent and better. That's what excellence is. You can look up definitions, and I did some of this morning on excellence until the cows come home. And basically, it always comes back to better, superior. Let me give you some of the words that it always comes back to. Superior, exceptional, preeminent, first rate, first class, beautiful, exemplary, top notch, the best, outstanding, matchless. Amen. And I wrote this down. When something is excellent, it becomes the new standard. Listen, if you do a daycare better than anybody else and you start exploding, the other people have to raise up to your standard or else bye-bye other daycares.
Yeah, come on. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Somebody said, well, that's just not fair. Oh, yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, it is. Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen.
People that say that's not fair, they want to stagnate into the laziness of the flesh. They don't want to press for the nature of who they really are and what they really have on the inside of them. Am I still in the right room?
Yes, sir.
So when something's excellent, it becomes the new standard. It becomes the new benchmark that everyone else commends and shoots for. Excellent people change whole industries. They come up with a better product, a better whatever, a better system, like text, for example, Henry Ford. He came up with the assembly line. And it changed the whole world, really. Rather than making them one at a time by hand, you make them each exactly the same, and they all fit the other one, you know, and so forth and so on. And it changed industry. Hallelujah. That's called excellence.
Yes,
in other words, he raised everything up to a higher level.
Yes. Amen.
And really, that's what believers have on the inside of them. So it becomes the new standard in the field. When comes out with a more excellent way of doing that, they do it better, then everyone else begins to imitate that, model that, and pattern after that. And therefore, the one who led that becomes the foremost authority in the industry. So now not only are you the number one, now you are the authority that everybody else comes to ask you how to do it. And you can go cha-ching, cha-ching, thank you.
Yes, sir.
See, connected with excellence is connected with prosperity. Am I preaching all right?
Hallelujah.
What you do should be better than anybody else. You should do it better. Amen. And therefore, you'll be worth more merit. Your products or the way you serve should stand out. If you're an employee, the way you serve should stand out. And other employees, ought to have the attitude, you're making us look bad. What I do is my business. What you do is your business. I'm just gonna go for the best that God has for me. It's awfully quiet. Amen. It should stand out. People should consider the way you work, the way you serve, the way you do business or your products or whatever. They should consider them unheard of, remarkable, absolutely the best that there is.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You should stand out among your peers. Hallelujah. Do you know, let me give you a little news flash. Do you know employees are willing to pay more for somebody who is more efficient?
That's true.
They can get more done in an hour than three people beside them.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I pay.
Amen.
You want to know it?
Come on.
Everything that employee does is labored and it takes a long time. Well, okay, let's find somebody who can do it more. Do it more efficient. Amen. The Lord spoke to me on vacation in August, I believe. What was that? August, I believe. And he spoke to me about this. And he said, keep on renewing your mind and it will enable you to learn to recognize what is distracting you and using up your time. It will enable you to cut out the wasted motion and the inefficiencies. Actually, he said this to me in relation to teaching our employees this. It'll enable you to cut out wasted motion and inefficiencies. Say that, wasted motion and inefficiencies. It'll make you more efficient. In other words, a renewed mind will make you more efficient. When I say renewed mind, I'm referring to Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, be renewed in your mind. It'll make you more efficient, enable you to bear more fruit, be more productive, and therefore more prosperous. I don't know why it's so quiet in here tonight. I'll read on. A renewed mind is a very efficient mind. It is not encumbered with taxing habits or wasted motion or thoughts. It works in a well-organized way that enables a person to achieve maximum productivity with minimum wasted effort. Thought processes are streamlined and have been developed by the Spirit within to cut out the wasted motion. I have found that I can run circles around most people in the area of efficiency. What to them is arduous and laborious, I can do with great ease and efficiency in much less time many times. Now, there's things I don't know about. There's areas of industry I don't know about, and I'm not talking about things I don't know about, but in the things that I know about and you know about, many times I can do it better and faster. Why don't somebody say you're bragging? I'm saying what the renewed mind will do for you. What is arduous and laborious to them, I can do with greater ease and efficiency in much less time so often. The reason is because I have trained my mind out of my spirit to be efficient. I've cut out the wasted motion and the inefficient thought processes. They are often doing it out of much laborious mental effort, and I'm doing it out of my spirit. Some people have the ability to cram a 5-minute conversation into an hour's worth of talking. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some people have the ability to cram a 5-minute what should have been a 5-minute conversation into an hour's worth of talking.
Yes, sir.
Because they haven't thought through what they're getting ready to say.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons they're not prosperous.
All right.
A sharp guy who can think things through and thinks things through quick, he'll be ahead of everybody else. Therefore, he'll get the contract. He'll get the business. The boss will always be putting him on, and finally the boss will say, I can't afford not to pay him. Or other competitors are going to find out how good he is and hire him out from under me. I better pay him.
Yes, sir. That's true. Amen.
Amen. One of the characteristics of excellence is efficiency. Another one is accuracy. Accuracy. Well, I won't get into that tonight. But anybody getting anything out of this? Totally different flow than we're normally used to going here. But the Lord started talking to me about this.
Amen.
Let's succeed. Let's go to the top. Let's triumph. Let's prevail in business as employees. Let's be paid the most. So therefore, let's be excellent. Daniel was 10 times better. I like that. That he found them 10 times better than all these other guys. 10 times better. 10 times better. Now, there's different categories. You can have a skill and a something that you're skilled at, but you're not efficient at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for example, right now I was talking in the offering about how we're looking for a home builder, a certain kind of home builder. We don't want to build a normal stick frame home. We want to build what is called a timber frame home, and that's just a different way of building. We really like the interior timbers and how that looks, and we just love that wood and so forth. So we're looking for a timber frame home builder. Well, Iowa just doesn't have too many. And there's a lot of things Iowa needs to catch up on, but you can find them in Missouri, in Minnesota. You can find them in Illinois, and you can find them in Nebraska. But Iowa, oh, Lord, Iowa, please, Iowa.
Yeah, come on.
Help Iowa. Lord Jesus, help Iowa. Anyway, so we've been looking for, I wanted to find somebody close, you know, efficient, and cut out the waste for transportation and all that. And so we're looking. And we found one in Illinois. It's about, 2 hours away or so. So we went down there and talked to them. And I mean, when we got there, things were out of order. They really weren't even ready for us to come.
Yeah.
We tried to find the right front door. Where is the front door to this place? Hello, anybody in here? Nope. Okay, go out here. Hey, hello, hello. We had an appointment. We're here. Nope, where are you? Finally, we found a guy out back. Oh, are you? Okay, we'll find. Okay, here he is. He's over here. So we go to meet the main guy. He's got his hands all dirty. He's working. Oh, are you the Eberleys? Yeah, okay. Well, I got a few minutes here for you. And so he took a few minutes, and we asked him as many questions as we could, and we instantly started going, this ain't the place. This ain't the place. If I got to deal with this, the whole process, I may as well cut the logs myself, drill the holes in the logs myself. Amen. And so, but we Pastor David's laughing because it was quite an experience. Now, in the process of time, we found out he is he's certified in ways concerning timber from home building, that he goes to Europe and trains Europeans all over Europe to do it the old world style. He's got skill out the ears when it comes to building timber frame homes. But his system of organized business, it isn't there. I sat down with his main architect to begin to talk to him a little bit about what we're looking at doing. And I think I was talking to a guy that maybe just came out of, maybe just graduated from high school and then just got out of architectural school or something, because my creativity was so far beyond his creativity. I'm like, if I've got to hold this man's hand and pat his hand every day for 4 months to get this done, it ain't worth it. Hello? Not efficient, not organized. Therefore, it's going to be a problem using a company like that. Got skill out the ears. The guy is excellent. We walked through his house. He's excellent in his building, his ability to create and timber frame creating beams certain ways the way you want them. I mean, he can make beams look like a half circle and bend it and put it in. And it's awesome what he does. But trying to work with a guy like that that's disorganized, forget it. Forget it. I could draw it myself before he gets done. Draw the plans. Learn about architecture and do all that myself. So there's more to success than just excellence in, I am a good whatever, you know, shoemaker, whatever. I don't know. There ain't no shoemakers here, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm good at what I do. Yeah, but do you have efficient systems of marketing, business, promotion, accounting? Do you know anything about all that? Yeah. Nope. Well, then you ain't going to be top in your field. Yeah. Why am I on to this? I don't know. But the Lord put it in my heart this morning. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching really better than your amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking for some other companies. We're finding some. And whenever we get on the phone with some of them, they got their system down. They'll tell you, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. We're like, okay, we'll be there this time. We're gonna meet with you. We want to meet with you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
They get her done.
Yeah. Amen.
And I don't have to be thinking about it. Hold their hand and pat them. You can do this. Some people, I feel like I got to do it. You can do this. When you're working with them in business, you shouldn't have to tell them, you can do this.
Come on.
They ought to be sharp, skillful. And guess what? Where you should learn excellence is right here at church. There are people that have gotten promotions on their job because they learned the way we run our departments. The way we organize, the way we structure things, the chain of command, and all that we do. We teach them to delegate. We teach them all these principles of leadership. They learn that, and they become more skilled at their job, and they get promotions at their job.
Yeah, come on. Yes, sir.
Where else should we learn excellence whenever we've got the greater one living on the inside? We've got the all-knowing one, the one who is skilled beyond any human being living on the inside of us. Yeah. Hallelujah. So in one sense of the word, we're talking about being predominant and prevailing, but we're talking about it in a little different way tonight. Are you getting where we're going? Now, the opposite of excellence is inferior. If you look up these words, it is inferior, poor or failing, or second class. I've never wanted to be second class at anything I do. When we came to Eastern Iowa, the Lord said to me, I want you to raise the standard of excellence in ministry in Eastern Iowa. That's what some of you remember me saying that. Raise the standard of excellence in ministry in Eastern Iowa. Well, praise the Lord. So we've been setting about to do that. That means living a lifestyle of always pressing for an ever-increasing level of excellence in every area, including the ministry of the Word. Amen. When I go to a church and I don't get fed because they haven't boiled down to just be preaching Word. It's a little bit of theory, a little bit of this, a little bit of tradition, a little bit of, you know, feel-good stuff, a little bit of emotionalism, a little bit of psychology, a little bit of this. There's no excellence in the Word.
Yeah.
I always go there and feel like I got cheated.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not getting people saved.
Yeah.
You know, leading people to the Lord. It's just that we ought to be striving for excellence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now listen, the excellence is not comfortable on the flesh. Excellence does allow you, however, to always be increasing. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that. Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. The Greek says the call up. There's a call on the inside of you to come up, come up, come up, come up, come up into greater excellence, come up into greater prosperity, come up into greater strength in your body. Come up, come up, come up. Be better at what you're doing. Get a better paycheck. Come up. God didn't create a one of you to stay where you're at. He created you to always be constantly increasing more and more and more. Sharper, better, more skilled, more efficient, wiser, smarter. Got a better way of doing it. Glory to God. I don't know why I'm getting the feedback I'm getting, but it's interesting looking at some people tonight. When we started preaching and doing and pressing for excellence here in Eastern Iowa, we got a lot of pushback, a lot of kickback. You know, well, why do we have to do it like that? Why do we have to press like that? It's almost like, well, this is good enough for a church. The business world is out there, they perfecting systems and perfecting management, perfecting things, and the churches are just going bloop boom boom to help you. And that's why a lot of people don't, really successful people, don't really care about church.
Yeah.
One of the reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So when we started pressing for excellence, it was like pulling hen's teeth. What's that? What's hen's teeth? Do hen have teeth? No, that's the point. That's the point. There is no such thing as hen's teeth, so to pull a hen's tooth is almost impossible. But you and I ought to be raising the standard at everything we do. Hello? I'm a better communicator today because of the anointing on my life, but I've learned to yield to that. It doesn't take me an hour to make one little point. You can take, it's like Pastor Nancy, I listen to her services, and when she preaches, I'm like, okay, I could take that service right there and preach that for 9 weeks. Because she's perfected communication. She's got so much in there because she's cut out the waste. She's cut out the things that don't really get the point across. And whatever you do, you ought to be doing that. Yeah, if you're working as a self-employed person or something, you know, start perfecting systems to where you can get more in. Hire somebody on the side to do the accounting or something that they can do it excellent and they can do it at a cheaper price.
Yes, sir.
And I can give my time to give into this.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor you're smart. Tell your neighbor the all-knowing one lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So believers ought to always be raising the standard in everything they do. How about customer service? You ought to be some of the most customer conscious, show greater consciousness of the customer's needs and wants than anybody else. I worked for a company back in Tulsa that cleaned these air conditioning, air vents and air conditioning systems. And he rose to the top. He's a Christian man. I mean, all out on fire. He just tells him, hey, if you get a chance to lead people to the Lord, do it. He didn't care. He didn't care if it was on the clock. He said, you know, don't be pushy about it or anything, but just if you get the open door, you know, go for it. But he was excellent. He was always pressing. The flesh doesn't want to press. The flesh wants to be, it's good enough. It's good enough. And the spirit man said, no, there's better. There's better. There's better. And so, but this man was always pressing and he was rising. He was taking over the lead. There was one company. Well, I had to step out because of my call to ministry and go do other things. But by the time I stepped out, there was only one other company that was bigger than him. And he was nipping at his heels. Because he was pressing, he hired the right people who were efficient, and they knew how to do it better, and they learned. We actually created a little thing thing to go down through here that made it much quicker. We came up with a better way to do it. Not me, but some of the people in the company. He's always pressing for that. Hey, if you got an idea, let's do it. Let's figure this out.
Amen. Amen.
And so, but anyway, he rose to the top. And I guarantee you the reason why is because he just kept pressing for excellence. And he was very customer conscious, conscientious of customer service. It wasn't to him about a big business. It was about serving that customer.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You and I ought to have the biggest servant's heart in whatever we do than anybody around us.
Amen.
Sure, I'll do that for you. Sure, I'll take care of that for you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll do things right, everybody around you will want you to do it for them. Hallelujah. Everybody else is going to have to come up if they're going to make it. Every other competitor, so to speak. Well, glory to God. Now, like I said, ministers ought to set examples, and you ought to learn excellence in church. Where should... Church ought to be the most excellent place in everything. But the point is, excellence can be taught. It is your nature as a Christian. And excellence, you have to take on that nature in your mentality. In other words, you have to develop an excellent mentality. It can be taught. The natural tendency of the flesh is to stagnate into mediocrity and laziness. The natural tendency of the flesh is sloppiness and disorder. God is not disordered. God is very orderly. Look at the planetary system. Look at the universe. Look at the laws of nature and how everything works. Look at your physical body. They're still marveling at the physical body, how everything's set up to where this takes care of that, and if this, you know. It's amazing.
It is.
I mean, I you know what, you could get into all that and spend hours at it. But my point is, he's a very orderly God.
Amen.
And you and I should be orderly and not lazy and sloppy. Amen? And you can learn that at church.
Amen.
Take what the Word teaches you. Take the excellence that is set in front of you and the excellence that the Spirit of God reveals to you by hanging around people of excellence and people of spiritual development. And practice it at your job or at your business and prosper beyond your wildest dreams.
Amen.
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 Go take it out there to whatever you're doing. Hallelujah. Now, in one sense of the word, I'll say this. We'll say a few things here, make a few more points before we settle this, shut this down. But in one sense of the word, we really ought not to be competing with our brother in business. Amen. We are competing, though, with the flesh and with old limiting mentalities that hold us in the status quo. Am I making any sense? We're pressing the flesh and the flow of the world to move beyond what is accepted by those who live a low life. Those with an unrenewed mind into the excellence. In other words, we're pressing into the excellency of what God says is available to us and as revealed by the Spirit of God to us in His Word. We press the mentality that says that's good enough. We keep pressing that. We keep pressing that. We keep pressing that. Hello? We press that mentality. I said we keep pressing that mentality. We are competing. We strive for excellence. Or let me say it this way. Striving for excellence and being competitive are not the same thing. One that is striving for excellence is seeking self-betterment. Competition seeks to be better than others. But excellence just seeks to be the best we can be. It's pressing our own limitations. Yeah. It's pressing the own laziness of our own mind.
Yeah, that's good.
Of our own systems of ways of doing things. It presses our own flesh that doesn't want to, stay up late at night and figure out a better way to do this. A lot of people just want to work 9 to 5 and then y'all figure everything out. I'm going to play. Yeah. You'll never really be rich.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Well. I said it. Amen. I don't want to see anybody here get to be an old age, be an old maid, sitting at home in a one-bedroom subsidized apartment, clipping newspaper clippings, and living off of food stamps.
No, come on, sir. Come on.
Just because you didn't press the flesh. You didn't press the flesh. You didn't press that mind to think better, think clearer. Get a renewed mind and be efficient at what you do.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Come on. We got the greater one on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. I'm about to do it. I'm about to preach myself happy. So really, we're not competing with others. We're just pressing for the standard of excellence of the one who's on the inside of us and the standard of excellence of the Word. We're seeking self-betterment, not to better other people per se. Excellence looks only to the Word. We're not comparing ourselves with other people. We're looking to the way the Spirit of God taught us to do it. Amen. We don't put our attention on somebody else. They're not our standard. We put our attention on God and His Word, and He ain't sloppy. Amen. We rise or fall to the standard we look at. And if we're looking at somebody else, and let's say we just do a little bit better than them, then we stop right there. But if we keep looking to the one who is the most excellent, we won't stop. There'll be no limit on us. We'll just keep rising and rising and rising and rising. And people are going, what are they doing? Where are they getting these ideas? Hallelujah. We're not doing this out of pride, but out of accuracy to the Word. We're doing it out of faithfulness and obedience to the Word. And out of the excellent spirit that's on the inside of us. Amen? Now, praise God. Are you able to take just a little bit more tonight? I don't know why I'm getting the feedback I'm getting. In the spirit, some of you are being stretched. I can tell you're like, Let's go for it. If anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Worth doing right. Doing right. Hallelujah. So, that being said, we're really not competing with other people. You do understand that by walking in the standard of excellence that the Word gives will make you an superior employee or make your business superior or your performance superior. But it's only because of the greater one in us who is our standard that He's greater than the one in them. Hello? He's more excellent. He's more creative. He has better ideas. He's more skilled. He's more efficient. He knows more. He knows the future. He's wiser. He knows where the market's going. He knows where the industry is going. He knows it all. Isn't that right? And so their standards are set by a failure. Satan is a failure. I mean, a guy that gets kicked out of heaven, he's a failure. Duh. Loser. Big time loser. Their standards are set by a loser. Ours are set by a winner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The triumphant one, the victorious one, the greater one. And the greater one makes us superior. It makes us exceptional. In our culture, there's an argument whether America is an exceptional nation. We have been. Thank you very much. We got, I mean, there's a lot of resistance against it right now. Some of you don't like this service, I can tell. There's certain things being challenged on the inside of you. But listen, the greater one in us with creative ideas and better ways of doing it, and who gives us ways of being more efficient, he makes us exceptional. He is the greater one. And this nation is a greater nation than ones who stagnate into other forms of government, et cetera, et cetera. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen anyhow. Hallelujah. Well, good. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Faithfulness carries excellence with it. Part of faithfulness is being excellent. Remember when God told Moses, do it according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. And the Bible called Moses faithful. So he did it just the way God told him to do it, and that was faithfulness. But it was also accurate. So one of the ways that you could define excellence is accurate, just accurate. Faithfulness is excellent. So there's a lot we could get into regarding that, but let me talk a little bit about prosperity before we go tonight, if you can handle it. Spiritual excellence will lead to excellence in every other area. You and I should be excellent in the Word, excellent at walking by faith, excellent in exercising forgiveness, excellent in all these fruit of the Spirit. Just keep on growing and getting better at it and better at it and better at it. It'll perfect all our relationships. It'll start making us have excellent marriages. It'll cause our children to be exceptional because we're raising them in excellence. They'll be the top of their class. They'll be the most developed. They're developing quicker than the other children. Just excellent children, cutting edge, superior. Just because we're pressing towards the excellence of the greater one in us. And we're learning to be excellent in the Word. We discipline our children in the excellent way the Bible teaches it to be done, and so forth and so on. Am I making any sense? So spiritual excellence will cause excellence to come into every other area of our lives. It'll actually cause us to excel, make us more diligent. We'll have higher standards. See, that's one thing excellence does. It has higher standards. Excellence will always pull you up. I said excellence. That's what some people struggle with. That upward pull. We're pulling people up, and people struggle with that. They want to stay where their flesh wants to stay in sloppiness, laziness, or inefficiency, or something. Am I making any sense? So excellence is always pulling you up, and if you're not careful, you'll turn against your own answer. Whenever that you're feeling somebody pull you up. But excellence has higher standards. Excellence sees things in people that they might not even see themselves and says, you got it in you. I'm going to help pull you up. Amen. Hallelujah. And so excellence means keeping, excellence, spiritual excellence will start bleeding into every area of your life. When you become a excellent person in the things of God, you start keeping your car clean. Your house is orderly. There's not trash laying around. I was amazed one time. I was out in the front yard a couple of years ago. I don't remember I don't know if I walked out to get the mail or something. I don't remember how it all happened. But anyway, the neighbor one of my neighbors, he said, could you help me out with something? I said, sure. He said, I had a door open and a bird flew in my house. Would you help me, you know, get it out? I said, sure. So I went over there, and I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. Everything outside is clean and nice, and, you know. I walked into this house. I did a double take. You could not find 3 square inches of counter space on any piece of furniture or anything. It's just sloppy stuff laying everywhere. Stuff, old meals. Dirty dishes. I mean, paperwork. Empty open boxes with peanut stuff in them. I mean, just everywhere. Yeah. All the walls had stuff laying around the edge of all the walls. Every piece of furniture covered. You probably couldn't find 3 square inches, even on the countertop over in the kitchen. I was shocked because outside you wouldn't have thought that was inside of the house.
Yeah.
Y'all still with me?
Yeah, we are. Yes, sir.
Guess what? When you start developing excellence of spirit in spiritual things, that kind of stuff will change. Yes, sir. I said that kind of stuff will change. Yes, sir. Hello? Tell your neighbor, I don't know if it's you. I'm just not going to listen. I'm just going to say, praise the Lord. I'll take it to heart. Amen. If somebody groaned beside you, just assume that they, you know, had a heart palpitation or something, you know. Amen. But it'll go into every area. Hallelujah. The way you keep your house, the way you adorn yourself, the way you praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. It'll start bleeding out into every other area. Now let's talk about prosperity. Excellence attracts excellent people. Excellence has a wealthy mentality, and it leads to more wealth. You might not have a lot of money, but you can be excellent with whatever you do have. Yeah, you can buy some Comet or some 409 or something, and you can clean that old house that isn't exactly what you wanted. Spot and spick and span, and I mean you could go ahead and put your bread on the counter and put your peanut butter on it without a plate because it is spotless clean. Amen. Excellence has a wealthy mentality and it leads to wealth. You don't have to have wealth to have a wealthy mentality. Excellence is your wealthy place. The Lord said that to me this afternoon. Excellence is your wealthy place. This morning, excuse me. Excellence, write it down. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Write it down. Write it down. You'll get it later. Excellence is your wealthy place. In other words, those who are excellent, they always gain wealth. They always take on more responsibility at the job because they're good at it. Look, they can manage three different departments, and they got time on their hands. Yep. Yeah. Some people can't manage one, right. Yeah. And you're paying them 40 hours a week just to manage one. Well, here's a guy that can manage three, and you can pay them for 40 hours a week, and they get it all done in three departments.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Guess who's going to get the higher paycheck? Yeah. Guess who's going to keep the job?
Yeah. Come on.
So excellence is your wealthy place.
Yeah. Amen.
Excellence is your wealthy place. If you want to be wealthy, develop in excellence. It's your wealthy place. God never has blessed sloppiness. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching real good. Part of excellence is being wholehearted. All out. That's what I mean. Anything that's worth doing is worth doing right. Just go at it all out. And the Bible talks about this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Praise God. Poverty-mindedness is never excellent. And poverty-mindedness won't spend the money. It's too cheap. Too cheap to clean up whatever you got. Well, I can't afford a nicer house. Okay, just spend money on the one you got and keep it the best you can.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. I mean, hello. Hallelujah. Maybe we've reached the limit of how far we can go tonight. So it won't spend the money. I'm talking about poverty-mindedness. It's never excellent. It won't spend the money. It's too cheap. It doesn't think keeping things clean and up and well-groomed is worth the money it takes. Amen. Well, I can't afford to change the oil in my car. Guess what? It's going to cost you more money. It's going to cost you more money. I can't afford to adjust the alignment. I'll just keep wearing these tires out. Just spend a little on the alignment and your tires will last longer.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about? Excellence. 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 Look in your life and cut out the waste. Look in your life and see where it is you're just spending money where if you just spend a little over here, you'd fix all that. Talking about prosperity. So, sloppiness only breeds more sloppiness. But excellence breeds more excellence and attracts more wealth. When you go to a job interview, look excellent. Look like you ought to be hired.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Tell your neighbor, he just gave you a clue right there. Yeah, be sharp. And look like you want it. Look like you're ready to outdo any. The last 16 guys he's had in here, I'm ready to outdo them all. Come on, I'll take the, come on, give me that job. Amen. Don't look like a slouch going there with your britches halfway down your behind and got your ball cat on hat backwards, chewing gum. Like they owe you something, they don't owe you anything. They're looking for the best. They're looking for somebody that'll be efficient and that's got it together. And they probably made the decision before you even sat down. He ain't the one. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Excellence breeds more excellence and attracts wealth. Amen. Excellence leads to success, and success leads to more success. That's just the way it is. Success just keeps on being successful, and poverty and poverty-minded just keeps on breeding more poverty.
Come on.
Something's got to change.
Change.
Tell your neighbor, it's going to change in my life right now. Hallelujah. Two hindrances. I'm done with this statement, this paragraph. Two hindrances to excellence is laziness and poverty-mindedness. Now, you might not have the money you want, but at least you don't have to have a poverty-mindedness where I can't afford to change the oil. That's just an illustration. I can't afford to change the oil. Well, then go buy a new engine. Yeah, that's just a simple illustration we can all understand. You can apply that to so many ways. When people, praise the Lord, I'll go ahead and say it. Sometimes I used to drive all over the country. And you go through town after town after city after town, and you notice some of them are excellent and some of them aren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some trim their highways and put landscaping up through their main route to make people who go through there think, this is a nice place. But some don't care, and people go through there and like, I think I'm going to go to the next place. Hello? Beautify your main highway. Make it look like a place where businesses might want to come.
Yes, amen.
And bring some prosperity and increase to this place.
Amen.
Well, I'll go ahead and shut it down. If I don't stop there, I'll go to meddling. I'll get myself in trouble. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. Little different, but I'll tell you, it'll change you. Tell your neighbor, he's just trying to bring you up. Come on, tell your neighbor, come on, we're going on up. Yeah, like the Sanfords used to say, go moving on up. Amen. That's us, we're moving on up. Moving on up. Listen, one way to be more excellent is to know more than other people in your industry. Get some schooling, learn some things, learn a trade, learn, you know, people that know more get paid more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if I should say this or not, but I think I will. Because I'm just letting it all out tonight. Some certifications, just because you have the certification, people have to pay you more for it. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
What I was going to say was Kurt Warner, you know, he's won all these, he's won Super Bowl stuff. He's good. He's good. That's why he's won. He's good. And I'm sure he didn't sit around and waste his time. He worked at it.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, he was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean, not the Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, you know. And I asked the Warners, I said, you know, what does that do for him? They said, not much. He just gets paid more at speeches.
Yep. Praise God.
Yeah. I thought, hey, yeah. It's just man's accolades, but hey, thank you. I'll take that speech. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Amen. And you get to wear that jacket, you know.
Yeah.
Which I guess they pay for, but I don't know. Hallelujah. So, well, I don't need that certification to do it. Yeah, but if you go get it now, they have to pay you more.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, amen.
See, You just, anyway, I think you're getting it tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good.
Again, tell your neighbor, he's just bringing you up. Amen, because that's who we are. We rise to the top. We are excellent people. We have the excellent one living on the inside of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if your fellow employees start feeling bad, well, then you just say, hey, you can come get saved too. You can come get the greater one. You can come get the greater one in you too. You can get the one who knows all the has all the good ideas and to live inside of you too. You want to pray the prayer of salvation right now? Yeah, because I didn't have these ideas on my own. It's your chance to testify and tell them. It's because of the one who is in me that he keeps bringing me up, keeps bringing me up. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.